Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. I hope you're having a good day so far. Well, here's my question for you today. Have you ever felt like you were made for another world? I mean, the Bible does say that God has set eternity in our hearts. Do you get a sense of that, that he's put eternity in your heart in this world of hardship, trial, loss, loneliness? It's easy to feel like you're adrift, like you're here, but you're not here. At least you wish you could be where God made you to be, homesick for heaven. Well, I'm so excited to talk with my friend today, Elise Fitzpatrick. She's written a beautiful book titled Home, How Heaven and the New Earth Satisfy Our Deepest Longings. I'll get her on in just a minute. A couple of quick announcements first. A shout out to those of you who are live streaming from around the world. It's been such a treat to hear from you from the Netherlands, from Scotland, Africa, my goodness, and all over the nation. I always love to hear from you anytime, but especially if you're live streaming from somewhere outside our network, email me and just let me know, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And if you include your mailing address, your name will go in a drawing, and we'll just pick a name here and there, and we'll send you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. It's our way of saying we see you, we hear you. We're thankful for you. Also, we're doing a Bible giveaway, one Bible every week this month, and it's the Financial Stewardship Bible. All you have to do is sign up for free on our website, myfaithradio.com. And this Bible was put together in collaboration with Howard Dayton from MoneyWise, and it's got 2,000 highlighted verses of perspective on stewardship, trusting God and his provision for you. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Well, if you listen enough to the show, you know we've covered heaven several times in the last year or so. And the topic is especially near and dear to my heart with the recent passing of my younger sister's husband. And I got to tell you that earth is not our home. I mean, we hear that. But when you lose someone you love, it makes you long for heaven. It makes you look up to go, there's way more than this. And as a Christian who's followed Jesus for a long time, I have not thought enough about heaven. And as soon as I started to think about heaven, I realized some things about heaven that I never had considered before, and it changed everything with how I show up on earth. And this is the thing. My guest today says this, that our final destination is not a dull, featureless room in the clouds. It's a perfected earth. It's an actual place full of beauty and wonder that we'll explore with real and perfect bodies. She says there'll be no need to chase the bucket list on the new earth. There'll be no end of glorious sights and amazing activities. And one of the best parts about it all is that we'll never run out of time. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elise Fitzpatrick is a retreat and conference speaker, is a director of Women Helping Women Ministries. She's authored numerous books, including Idols of the Heart, Learning to Long for God Alone, Comforts from the Cross, Daily Celebrations of the Gospel, and many others. Elise, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Susie. I'm so glad to be here.
Always good to have you on the show. And we love to start our conversation talking scripture. And you chose Hebrews 11:16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly home. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Fantastic. Tell us about that passage.
Yeah, you know, it's the whole passage there in Hebrews 11 just talks about how we are and how we need to say that we are strangers and exiles on the earth because we are seeking a homeland. And what is that homeland like? It's a better country, a better homeland, a better place to be. And because we seek that, because we have faith that God will provide it, God isn't ashamed of us. He is, in essence, if you will, proud of us, that he's granted us faith to believe, and we have believed, and he has prepared for us a city. And, you know, that's so important when we think about our eternal life, because so many times Christians think, well, yeah, you know, if you say, where do you go when you die? Then Christians will say, well, we get to go be with the Lord, or maybe in their mind there's some sort of a cloud floating thing happening. But that's not what the writer of Hebrews says. The writer says, God has prepared a city for us. And then when we think about that word city, we need to think about loads and loads of people and on a tangible earth in physical bodies with the Lord.
Absolutely amazing. You mention in the book, for one, that you didn't ever picture yourself writing this book, and that loss has been a lifelong companion for you, that reality starting in fourth grade. Would you just mind, Elizabeth, at least giving us some backstory? I just saw Elizabeth walk by the studio. It's like squirrel. Sorry about that. Give us a little backstory on just that journey and really what that was like for you and how it framed your perspective.
Well, you know, in one sense, I've always sort of felt a little bit out of place here, like I didn't really belong. I rather think that a lot of people feel that way, like, oh, maybe other people really feel like they belong here, but I don't. And then over the last 2 years, we've gone through a time, and really it's continuing, where the things that we thought were certain, the things that we had put trust in, or that, you know, and not bad things, you know, like my church, the things that we thought were going to be stable began to slip away. And I really found myself at the end of this period of time, and including losing a beloved uncle who really functioned as my dad, really found myself saying, you know, I'm feeling something inside of me, and it's a longing for another place. I eventually came to understand that that longing was called homesickness. And then I thought, well, if what I really want to do is go be with the Lord, then what I need to do is find out what that's going to be like. And that was the genesis of this book.
Elise, why do so few Christians really think about it? I mean, I'm included in this. I mean, I lost my dad a number of years ago. That was painful. But losing my little sister's husband, who's been a brother for me to me as long as I can remember, really, I mean, it just seemed untimely. He was too young. That's what made me look up. And I thought, I'm a seasoned Christian, so to speak. And there's so much I didn't know about heaven. And we relegate it to fog machines and clouds and harps. And that sounds really boring, actually. But why do so few of us take time to really explore this topic?
Yeah, you know, it is really boring. And I've actually had people confess to me that, you know, well, yes, they knew that they were going to be in heaven and they knew they ought to be happy about it, but it didn't really sound that great. I think that the reason that we know so little about it, well, first of all, you know, a lot of what we have to know about it is, you know, we have to use our imagination. None of us has ever really seen it. And so there is that. But then also there is this a lack, if you will, in the church of understanding where we're going. And, you know, Plato really did us disservice, and the church has picked it up in saying that the physical, what is physical, is less than or evil in comparison to what is spiritual or spirit body. And so many Christians, and Susie, I'm just like you. I mean, I've been a Christian for 45 years, and there was a lot about this stuff that I didn't really understand. That, yes, when I left the earth, I left my body here and went to an intermediate state, but then what? And so many Christians, when you say, what's it going to be like in heaven? Well, it's going to be great. There won't be any pain, and that's true. We're going to be with the Lord. Yes, that's true. We're going to be in a, you know, eternity-long worship service, which honestly, I'm going to be honest here. I love worshiping. But, I mean, is eternity really going to just be an eternity-long worship service? I think a lot of people sort of struggle with that, and I think they should.
Wow. Okay, so before we get into this topic deeper, let's talk about what we're not talking about. We're not talking about end times theology, and you noted this in the book. There's obviously varying opinions among very sincere followers of Christ, so we're not here to dissect points on that, but to paint a picture of heaven. Maybe say a word about that before we take a quick break here.
Right. Well, you know, there are, as you said, many views of what happens in the end times. What I wanted to do was write about what happens after all that. So wherever you want to put any of all of this stuff that people talk about with the end times, that's fine with me, as long as what we understand is, okay, what we're talking about now is after all that, after what we would call the last day.
Very good. We're going to pause here. I just got to say, Kristen from, let's see here, Ecuador, South America, listening live, streaming online from the Faith Radio app. Is that the coolest thing ever? I don't know why, but that just puts a spring in my step. Kristen, we're going to get you a book off of our Faith Radio shelf, talking to Elise Fitzpatrick about home, how heaven and the new earth satisfy our deepest longings. When we come back, we're going to talk about the scripture that talks about that our light and momentary troubles are nothing compared to the glory that we will see one day, my paraphrase. But we're going to unpack that passage of scripture, hear what Elise has to say about it. We've got three copies if you want in on the drawing. Susie at myfaithradio.com. Remember your name, mailing address, put home somewhere in that email, and your name will go in the drawing. We will be back in a moment. Song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Elise Fitzpatrick about her beautiful book, Home, How Heaven and the New Earth Satisfy Our Deepest Longings. And Elise, this passage from 2 Corinthians 4, first part, I just love this, from 13, verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And here's the passage I'd love for you just to unpack for us, if you could. It says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I mean, you know what you've walked through, Elise. We've walked through some stuff, and then you just look at what our brothers and sisters around the world are walking through. Nothing about it seems light and momentary, but Scripture says it is, because it's achieving an eternal glory that far outweighs what we're dealing with now. Speak to that, if you would.
Well, right. You know, and first of all, let's just say, I think that as the older I get, the more I'm aware, or perhaps it's just the more aware of what I see going on around me, that this world is wasting away. Our bodies are wasting away, and you know, as certainly we look around at the world and what we see, it's certainly seems to be getting worse. I don't know. At least we're in troubling times now. But then we say, well, but then there's this eternal weight of glory. And, you know, there's this contrast between our life of suffering in this present age and the transformation that suffering brings about in us. You see, that suffering is like, sometimes I feel it like a homesickness. I wanna be in the place where I wake up in the morning and don't see any headlines about bombs going off. I want to wake up in the morning and be at the place where I don't see, I don't get any bad news emails from any friends. Well, what that's doing, you see that sort of contrast between this evil age and the age to come is transforming me so that I no longer put my trust and hope in what's here, but it's preparing my heart for this beautiful eternal weight of glory. You know, we are going through light momentary afflictions. I mean, that's how Paul talked about it. It doesn't seem light and momentary to me, frankly. But Paul understood that, and he certainly went through immense difficulty as well. But what he says is the affliction is preparing him to, in some ways, if you will, receive this great eternal reward. Affliction by itself doesn't bring a benefit like that, but only when seen in the light of God's eternal perspective. So we don't look at things as we see them. We look at them from God's perspective. I heard someone, I was listening to a podcast a few days ago, and I heard someone say, if you want to know what God is doing, if you want to see what God is doing, pluck out your eyes and put them in your ears. And, you know, that's kind of an astonishing thing to say, certainly. But what that guy was getting at was the fact, you know, what we want to do is not focus so much on what we see, how we feel, the difficulties we go through, but rather have our eyes and heart focused on the eternity, the beautiful eternity that God has for us.
And we have opportunities in these places. I mean, that's why he says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, because we can lose heart, we can lose courage, we can get offended with God. I mean, it does matter how we steward these trials. And so many saints of old, these 1800s, you know, saints will say that your trial will actually pay tribute to your soul if you trust God in it. I mean, there is an opportunity for us there, isn't there? And it has eternal consequences.
Absolutely. And it completely does. You see, what we need to learn, and it's not like God is teaching us some lesson like we're naughty children that need to have a lesson taught. What God is doing is giving us more of himself. But in order for us to have more of himself, we need to see him. And a lot of times the way he helps us do that is by causing all of the things here that we love to look at to be seen as what they are. Mm. They're transient. They are, some of them, completely worthless. Other things, you know, like great relationships with other believers or with our family, those things are good things. But again, they're just transient. And the Lord continues to say, look to me, look to me, look to me. And then you'll see this perspective that you need to see, which is, this really isn't all there is. You're an exile here. Yeah. You know, when I think about those exiles that are leaving the Middle East and trying to get into Europe, you know, they know they're exiles, and they know they're headed someplace else, and they're focused on getting there. And that's what we need to be as well. We need to know this isn't our home. I mean, the earth will eventually be the new earth and will be our home, but the earth as it is right now, this world system, is not our home. We're on a journey. And so instead of stopping and looking at everything, every little pebble on our road, we need to keep our eyes fixed on that glory that's to be revealed.
Mm. Yeah, the Bible says we're on a pilgrimage. And I remember reading up on what that exactly meant, and it meant we're on a journey to a homeland. So this is not it, you know. Well, the rest of that passage, the last verse, is so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but is what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, as you're just saying, but what is unseen is eternal. But truly, that first part of that verse just seems such a dichotomy. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. Speak to that maybe for that person listening going, how exactly do I do that again?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, in that little quote that I just gave, we do that by attending to what God says about the world to come in his word. You see, that's the only way we can't see through this. We're in shadow right now, and we can't see through the barrier between us and the world to come. We can't see there, but God has given us enough. He's given us his word. He's given us the bread and wine. He's given us the water of baptism. He's given us enough to fire up our imaginations by his spoken word, through the sacraments, through preaching, through our own reading, so that we can see, at least get a glimpse, of what is eternal.
Hmm. John Burke says that earth is a time capsule. It's got tastes of heaven and tastes of hell, but one day he's pulling it apart. So there are things on earth that are glimpses of future glory. I mean, what it makes us think that what we taste on earth in food is as good as it gets. No, not, and or what we smell or what we see, colors, you know. This is a taste, a foretaste of things to come. Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes before our bottom of the hour break, and so you can carry this answer to the other side, at least if you need to. But I want you to talk to that person who's sitting in their life right now going, this is nothing like I thought it would be. I mean, the disappointment is a capital D disappointment. Conflict in relationships, maybe failure in marriage, maybe their kids are not going where they thought and wanted them to go. How does that person find a holy confidence to stand in the face of disappointment, not denying that it exists, but to say, how do I live with eternity in mind in my right now life that just I want to get out of?
Right. And, you know, the first thing that I would do is to say to that person, pray. And I know that sounds so hackneyed, you know. It's like, okay, pray about it. I don't mean it that way at all. I mean, pray. Pray that God gives you faith and a vision to see of what God is preparing for you. And then to understand that even though on this earth relationships are always going to be difficult, even the best ones, there will always be conflict and disappointment. There is coming a day, and sooner than we know, when we will have relationships with people that will never disappoint. And the other thing that's really wonderful is that we've got relationship by the Spirit with the Lord Jesus even now. So talk to him. Tell him that you're alone and that you need to know that he's near. And what Hebrews 4 says is that whenever we need mercy and grace, we can call out and the Lord will give us that in our time of need.
It's amazing. We've just got about 30 seconds left here before the break, but I just got to ask you, what did you tell yourself? And maybe, again, you have to carry this to the other side. But when things were falling apart, you wrote about that in the book. In fact, I see myself coming up on the edge. I can't get my words out with enough clarity here. On the other side, Elise, I want you to just talk about when things that you felt were secure started to blow up and fall apart, and good friendships, conflicts, and you tried to reach this olive branch out, and it wasn't met the way. What did you tell yourself so that you could walk in a holy confidence and a humble dependence to say, I am still beloved of God, even if I'm being misunderstood? Because I just feel, Elise, that so many listening today are in those kinds of places and their gut is in knots. And I want them to find a place of peace in the midst of the storm. Talking to Elise Fitzpatrick, love for you to email me if you want in on the drawing. 3 copies of her book were given away today. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie, S-U-S-I-E, @myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and put home somewhere in that email. And that means this is the book you're vying for. More with Elise Fitzpatrick on the other side. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Elise Fitzpatrick. I always love chatting with her. Her brand new book is titled Home, How Heaven and the New Earth Satisfy Our Deepest Longings. And I had a hard time spitting out my question there before the break, so here I'm going to give it a go again, Elise. But you talk in the book about a time in, kind of in the last recent few years where things were connected and you were flying on all cylinders, and all of a sudden things started to fall apart. And friends that were trusted friends that you had credibility with, all of a sudden you have some conflicting conversations with. And I'm not, if you want to share a little bit about that, but you don't have to. But what I want to know is how you found your footing again. Because I think if anything disrupts our hearts and our perspective, it's conflict, especially with people that we love. Anything that served you well, that you reminded yourself so that you could keep your wits about you in such a time?
Yeah, thanks, Susie. Just real briefly, we went through significant issues, not so much with my relationship with my immediate family, but with people whom I had thought I had a good relationship with. And then in our church, we had to go through a loss of a pastor, not by death, but he had to step down. And then there were other situations where I was being, misunderstood, whether willfully or not. And I just want to say, first of all, I didn't do this real well. You know, you and I have talked about grace enough to know that me learning the lesson, if there is one, that I'm supposed to learn is not really where we want to always end up. What I knew was, first of all, that I probably was going to have days, and really more than I want to admit, that I just didn't do well. You know, I felt like I had gone over a waterfall. I felt like I had lost my bearing. I was unhinged in some ways, and particularly in the times where people that I really trusted were acting in ways that was so very hurtful. And so, you know, again, let me just say, I didn't do it perfectly. Where I did tend to land, though, and where I try to land is, again, at that passage at the end of Hebrews 4, where the writer of Hebrews says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And the thing that I held on to and am continuing to hold on to as now we're entering into a time of apparent physical problems in our family, just with our health. One of the things that I have to hold on to, really the only thing, is that Jesus understands this. See, that's why the incarnation is so important. Is, you know, did Jesus come and die for our sins? Yes. But you know what he did before then was he lived an entire life perfectly in our place, so that I know he knows what it is. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to be maligned by friends. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by friends. He knows what it's like to watch people that he loves die. He understands all of this, and he's gone through it. And the reason that that's good news is not just because misery loves company, but because he's done it perfectly. And whereas on one hand you might say, well, how does that help me? He does it perfectly and I don't. What we can say is, if we have come to trust and believe in Jesus Christ, then that record of having gone through all of this, that perfect record of loving God and loving my neighbor the way I am commanded to do, that perfect record of Jesus Christ is mine. And Susie, honestly, that's justification. And that's the only thing that got me through, was knowing that even though I was really stumbling badly in a lot of ways, I knew that as far as the Lord was concerned, that I was completely forgiven and couldn't have been more perfect than I was. And again, that's not because I was keeping my act together, but it was because Jesus Christ knows what it is to be tempted in every way as I am, and yet he did it all without sin. And that's my record. And that then leads me to have confidence about the future. See, if I think that my future home rests on how well I'm handling things right now, you know, whether or not God's going to be mad at me, I don't have to worry about that anymore because my trust is in Christ, and Christ was perfectly obedient in my place and suffered for my sin in my place. Because of that, then I know that my home is assured, and that's what gets you through it.
I love it. And that's so where I was thinking and hoping you would go, Elise. I mean, you think of John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you'll have life and life abundantly. One of the ways that enemy steals and then kills and then destroys is he stirs up this kind of trouble, and then we handle it in ways that are beneath us, and then we just hold ourselves in contempt so he can back up and we just destroy ourselves. We've got to know this grace and this new mercy that he sends to our door every morning. Or we just self-destruct. And truly, for that person listening today, you know, first you get into trouble. Things happen to you. In this world, we have trouble. And then you handle it in a way because you're human and you're hurt and you've got your own buttons. And then the enemy uses that as ground of accusation. And I think it's why it's so important to go back to the grace and then to know that we're not made for this place. And so I so appreciate what you just said. And so, and you also said in this time, you're walking through this. This book was not on your heart at this time. But my guess is that walking through this time gave you a taste for another world, another city. And that's where this thing was born in you, right?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I'm really thankful for my publisher, Bethany House, because I was slated to write something else. And I said, guys, would you let me write about heaven? I think I need to do that now. And they were very kind to let me do it. But that desire to even talk about heaven and to think about what the new earth is going to be like, what will it be like after we have our resurrection bodies? What will it be like, Susie, to be able to sit down in a conversation with a group of friends and never look at your watch and think, well, you know, this is really fun, but I got to go. Or never think, gee, I wonder if they like me. Or am I saying this right? Or, I, you know, all of those things. Or to be in a conversation and never be bored. You know, the things that are going to be glorious about the new earth are all going to have to do with sharing relationships. And for a lot of people, relationships, that thought doesn't seem like, you know, something they really want to do. It's only because the only relationships they've experienced are relationships here on this broken earth. But because of God's grace, the relationships that we will have on the new earth will be as relationships should be, will be as we long for them to be. I mean, how many times have you looked at a relationship in your life and thought, wow, I wish this was different, or I wish I hadn't said that? You know, the other day I had a conversation with my mom, and she's quite old, and she said some things that I thought, no, don't. And I corrected her, and I didn't do it unkindly. I was gentle with her, and then as I was driving away, I just started crying, and I thought, why did I think I needed to say that? She doesn't need to know that. She's 93 years old. And, you know, Susie, to live at a place where you never have regret. I mean, think about that.
Wow. Well, I'm thinking, Elise, of that person listening today who's thinking, I've heard of heaven, but this new earth, I guess I don't know much about that. What is the new earth? What did you learn about it in your study of Scripture?
Well, you know, what I want to do is encourage people to think about the new earth the way they might already think about what the world was like before Adam and Eve sinned. And because the earth that God created, he said, was very good. And so I think some Christians think, well, when we die, we leave the earth because the earth is bad, and we never come back here, and God just destroys it and then makes something new. And what I want to say is I seriously doubt that God's going to look at his good, his creation, which he called very good, and allow Satan to force him to completely destroy it. What I want to say is, instead, what God is going to do at the return of Christ, wherever you want to put all this is fine with me, at the return of Christ, when we are resurrected, when we get our DNA back, you know, when you die, you lose your DNA, but when you're resurrected, you're like that seed that's been planted into the ground that grows into a resurrected human being. At that resurrection, Jesus is going to also remake the earth, refashion it, so that it becomes very much like it was when Adam and Eve were the only human beings on the earth, except there will be thousands and thousands and thousands, millions of redeemed brothers and sisters from all over the earth, not in spirit bodies, but in regular bodies, who will eat and drink. And, you know, who knows, maybe someday we'll be sitting around having a picnic, and Susie, you'll be there with other friends, and we'll be talking, and who knows, maybe the Lord will walk up in his physical body. See, that's what we need to grab onto. The Lord is presently in a physical body, and we will have physical bodies, and maybe he'll walk up and we'll say, "Oh Lord, we were just talking about you." And he'll say, "I've brought lunch. Let's have a picnic." Like that. And you know what's really interesting is, when you think about the commands that were given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there's all these commands about what they need to do, but you know, there's a command that's missing. And the command that is missing is the command to worship. You see, they weren't commanded to worship because everything they did was worship. And so are we going to worship on the new earth? Yes, we are. But I think we need to think about that more broadly than we presently do. You know, like not just a worship service, but going and climbing a beautiful mountain and worshiping all the way because of God's good creation. That kind of worship, too.
The reason my brain can get around that, at least to some degree, is as someone, I've just dealt with chronic health issues my whole adult life. I have daily joint pain from Lyme disease stuff. So on my days when I feel good and when the sun is beating down hot, and the heat is when I feel the least amount of pain, and I get on my bike and I ride 21 miles an hour for 30 miles, it is a worship service for me. It's an offering. It is a gift. It's everything. I mean, I can't even tell you what it does for me, because it's a moment that I have that I don't always have. And I just feel like for those who suffer, for those who struggle, maybe it's relational, maybe it's financial, maybe it's physical, maybe it's through depression or mental health issues, to be in a place where you have mental clarity, where you have no more physical pain, where, as you say, you don't feel unsafe in relationships, wondering if you're being gossiped about when you walk away. I mean, the absence of that kind of stuff, I don't even think we can fathom, but that's what's waiting for us, you know?
It is. And the more I think about this, I'll tell you, the other day I went with my grandchildren and my granddaughters to go see Lion King. And they're all very, to go see the play. And they're all very aware of everything we've been talking about with what the new earth will be like. And one of my daughter-in-law said, "Hey, just think about it. Maybe in the new earth, we'll see a play like Lion King." I mean, you know, there's some parts of it that are whatever, but we'll see a play like Lion King, but instead of it being fake lions, they'll be real lions. And we'll get to watch them and see their majestic character, and who knows, maybe carry on a conversation.
Imagine that. Love it. Talking to Elise Fitzpatrick. If you have a question about the new earth, we've got one more segment with Elise. Now's the time. You can email or call it in, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. You can email the question if you want in on the drawing. Include your mailing address as well. More with Elise Fitzpatrick in a moment. Really hope you're having a great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Elise Fitzpatrick about her beautiful book, Home, How Heaven and the New Earth Satisfy Our Deepest Longings. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and then put home somewhere in that email so I know this is the book you're looking for. So, Elise, we're in a culture of just quick-fix solutions. I mean, we have such a high-tech culture that even our quote-unquote temporary solutions can seem as top-notch as you can get. But we got to keep remembering these are temporary solutions. We're so quick to put a Band-Aid on things. I mean, we don't have to feel discomfort for very long. We can get on Amazon Prime and get click a button and we've got what we want, at least for now. But as long as we continue to maybe medicate, and I mean this in the way of just numbing, and all these temporary solutions, I think we lose a little bit of our taste for heaven. It's almost like eating trash and then forgetting what really good food tastes like. Say a word about that, if you would.
Right. You know, it's people do that. People self-medicate in all sorts of ways. And I'm not talking about, you know, taking a pill if you've got a migraine or something. I'm talking about all of the things that we use to distract us from what's really important. And the internet is hugely a part of that. And I'm not a person that'll say, I hate the internet. There are parts about the internet that are really wonderful. But the reality is it's so very easy for us to distract ourselves from, you know, even walking, taking 15 minutes and walk without any distraction at all with thinking about the Lord and talking to the Lord and even allowing yourself, if you will, to consider what it is that you're going through and what the Lord may be doing in your life. And, you know, sometimes we have answers to that question. Frequently, I think we don't. But even so, just to say, I don't need to continually be consuming. And again, that doesn't mean we shouldn't eat and enjoy food and all of that sort of business. I'm just saying all of the ways that we try to medicate our own souls to anesthetize us to pain. And what that does is, you see, within us, there's this sort of homing beacon, right? Mm-hmm. That like hears that ping from heaven. We hear the ping and we say, oh yeah, this isn't my home. This is a beautiful place. I want to learn to be content here, but not really, because I have a home coming. But we hear that ping and we go, oh, there's something in me. Romans 8 says that the whole world is groaning. Well, okay, so I'm groaning for something better, some place where there is no pain or crying or suffering or sorrow or death. And then when I feel that ping go off, then, you know, what do? I run to the internet and buy something on Amazon. You know, I'm not saying, you know, everybody should get off the internet. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we need to be really careful that we not self-anesthetize and try to shut that ping up. That ping is good for us. It's that reminder. It's the reminder that we are strangers and aliens, that we're on a journey, that this place isn't our home, that we are going to a home that will be so much better. And then to ask the Lord to fit us for that home. And, you know, are we there by His grace alone? Yes, but I want to be the sort of person that I've thought about it and prayed about it and longed for it so much that when I get there, my capacity to enjoy it will be that much greater. Think about it in the way of the way we think about relationships. You know, when I pour into my relationship with my husband, it's not like I'm doing that because I want to try to get a good birthday present. What I get out of pouring into the relationship is a better relationship. You see, it intensifies the quality of the relationship I already have. And, you know, that's what we want to do with the Lord. It's not like I'm looking for the Lord to give me some big, you know, reward or a A-plus on a report card. I want the enjoyment of a beautiful relationship that I've poured my life into, and I will have that as I seek to see him now and not try to silence that ping.
You know, that's so good, and I've read how some scholars have said that's truly what part of the reward will be, to be in his presence, that to the extent that we live in faith, like it matters how we live on earth. And let's just say, what if this is true? To the extent that you live in faith and you trust him in the valley and you trust his grace when you mess up, will you actually engage like this stuff is true? To the extent that you do that, will you have the capacity to enjoy him there? He'll still be God. He'll still be sovereign and majestic and holy. But imagine if there were varying levels of capacity to actually enjoy his presence. I mean, to me, at least, it's like somebody who studied art has a capacity to appreciate a really good artist because they know something about him. I mean, isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Yeah, and you know, I think that's an appropriate way to think about rewards in heaven. See, are we all going to be blessed and happy in heaven? Yes, we are. But just like we have different capacities here on earth, I think we'll have different capacities in heaven. Now, I don't say that to say, well, some of us, and of course I would put myself in one in one camp, but, you know, some people will be sort of over other people. It won't be like that at all. But some people will have a capacity that in some way will be greater than other people's capacities. However, no one will be unhappy with where they are. And the really wonderful news is it's not like we have just like 6 months or 5 years or even 15 years to try to get our capacities bigger and broader. No, we have eternity to walk with him. And so everyone is going to be on a journey, even there, on a journey, walking into relationship, deeper, broader, more loving relationship with him, all of us eternally happy, all of us completely content and filled with bliss, but people will have varying capacities.
Interesting. As we get ready to wrap and pray, I've got to read an excerpt from your book. A new day is coming. In fact, it's been dawning ever since the first Easter. Jesus did everything Adam had failed to do. He fulfilled the creation mandate completely. The creation is back on track again. Are you beginning to sense that there's a change in the air? Elise, would you pray for that person who's just weary today, listening and weary in well-doing? Would you pray for that person today?
Father, thank you so much that you know us exactly where we are and that you love us as we are. And I pray, Lord, for the person who's really struggling today, that you would grant them the comfort of your presence, that they would know that you understand everything they're going through and you have made a way for them to walk through it. And then would you plant within that person the hope of the day to come, that this world is certainly a time of suffering, but the world to come will be a time of glory. Grant us, Lord, please, all of us, faith to believe that that's coming, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Elise, thank you, as always, for your time today. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Susie.
Always good to talk with you. Title of her book again, Home, How Heaven and the New Earth Satisfy Our Deepest Longings. If you'd like in on the drawing, we've got 3 copies going out the door this week. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Make sure you include your name, mailing address, and put home in the email. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And hey, while you're there, if you're looking for the podcast, sign up for that Financial Stewardship Bible, giving away 1 a week. I hope you win. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.